Starting over because Joey's an asshole. All right. All right, it's May 1st. It's a beautiful, glorious day. I'm here with my buddy Craig Kimberly.
What's up? And EJ's here as well.
I was just going to
say. We're in her house.
We are in her house, and we're in a room that is, I think, 7 feet by 7 feet, and all the angles point down at us. So it's going to be interesting what this audio outputs. We also have a new microphone.
I hope it does us justice.
Do
I sound sexy like Alicia did?
Probably
not.
No.
Not even close.
She had
a radio voice. It was like, what channel did I just tune into?
She has a voice that she could make a lot of money.
Yeah,
do they still
could.
Have those things?
With the phones? I'm sure they do.
1-888.
Just late night. And it's like a hot chick laying on a couch, like rubbing her stomach, wishing she could get out and meet someone. You call her up because she's lonely. Cha-ching, Alicia. That's all I'm saying. Money in the bank.
Well, I'm thinking, okay, what are one of those numbers?
Oh, I don't know. Oh,
that was a test. I was going to see if you could rattle one real
quick. I could peel one off.
It's totally a test. You
passed. That would have been terrible. Oh, you mean 1-800? I'm lonely.
Hannah's going to be happy that you couldn't rattle one of those off right off the bat.
Cluster singles.
But I should talk a little bit about Craig. Craig, to me, is the number one video editor and shooter in the city on the North Shore. Anyone that I've personally know, no one edits footage as excitingly and as creatively as Craig Kimberly does. When he comes out with a video, you know, there's a lot of people that I follow on my YouTube channel or whatever, but like if he comes out with something, it's an automatic must view for me because it doesn't matter what the subject matter is, he's going to make it bananas.
You were too kind.
You deserve those accolades.
Thank you, sir.
What do you think some of the keys to being a good video editor and video shooter are?
I think the first thing is whenever I get to any sort of environment or situation, wherever I'm going to shoot, you immediately have to get excited about what it is you're shooting, whether it's, literally someone digging a hole, putting in a pipe in the street, or, you know, a concert. You have to come up with an immediate game plan once you see it and go, you know, how can I present this and make this experience for somebody watchable? So that's a big part of it is, you know, I always want to put the camera places interesting, you know, or move interesting or do camera moves that are interesting and try to, you know, get everything I possibly can. So I shoot way too much usually when I shoot anything. But I don't like coming back and going, oh man,
I wish
I had just done that one wide establishing shot, or if I had just chased that person around one time or something. And I always come back and still go, oh, I could have, should have, would. So that never actually ends. But yeah, just, you know, knowing that, I mean, to be able to shoot, you know, direct shoot and edit something all at once gives you an extra privilege, you know, mm-hmm. because you're responsible for it. You know, it's difficult sometimes to edit other people's stuff, and it's difficult to pass over footage for someone to edit because you know the footage and they don't. So when you shoot your own stuff and you edit your own stuff, well, then you're picking out the paint and you're doing the painting.
Well, that's always whenever I try to explain how good you are, because I see you, I'm usually a lot of times when you're doing Gloucester stuff, I'm there observing you shoot, and what it seems like to me when I see your finished product is, like, I see you take these random shots and sometimes it's just quick, like 3 second pans. Like, what the fuck is he gonna do with that? But like, then I see it afterwards, and do you think it's because you've done it for so long that you are laying it out on the timeline? Like, you already know some of the shots that you want to get, and you're laying it out on the timeline in your head while you're shooting it?
Well, maybe not directly like where it's gonna go on a timeline, but definitely
that'll be able to be used someplace.
Yeah, I mean, I shoot with a purpose. Like, every frame I shoot, you know, there's a beginning and an end to every move. There's, you know, there's just purpose for everything that, you know, that you shoot. So it's like, it's literally, I compare it a lot to painting, although I'm not a painter, but it's like, you know, the moment you put the brush onto a canvas or something, you're being very intentional about what you're doing. I'm like that the moment I hit the record button. Mm. So just like a painter isn't just slapping random paint on, I'm not just sucking up a shot. I've got an intention, I've got a meaning for that, or I know how I'm going to apply that in the edit. So I definitely shoot for the edit. You know,
I should mention, like, you and I are completely opposite. Like, my the way I shoot, and I'm like, I'm not claiming to be a great videographer, but my whole goal is, Jesus, let me get it all in one take so that I don't have to go back in. Because for me, where you're a craft and you're presenting a visual feast, I am presenting information that a lot of time I want it to be timely. So I just want to get it all in
fast.
So I can, you know, just put a couple of transitions and titles and credits in and get it onto the blog. So, like, if the event happened, like, the people that were at event can see it, like, that night, so that they're, like, really stoked about it or something like that. But mine aren't as nearly, not even 1/100th of masterfully edited as... I don't know. So did you go to school for that, or just you picked up over time?
I did briefly for a little bit. I started with photography, like, really young. And it was really all because of skateboarding that really sparked it all. Me and all my homies grew up real serious skaters, and we became sponsored skaters, and we were vert skaters. We had, like, the biggest ramp on the East Coast at one point, 12-foot ramp. We had, like, fence, big decks, lights on our ramps. Like, we were, you know...
Real deal.
Yeah, a lot of our friends were pros, and some of them still are. So skateboarding, like... created this venue of stuff that you always want to take pictures of. Mm-hmm. And you also want to start shooting video. So I didn't have a video camera, but anybody that had one, I would, you know, it would immediately end up in my hands, because one, I like to do it, and two, sometimes it's tough to film people on ramps. You have to know how to follow chase.
Yeah.
Or I'd, you know, pick a lock and steal one from my stepfather's out of his case or something. But that's what got me into it. And then eventually, you know, after, you know, in high school, I got a camera, I was taking photos, still didn't have video then. And I went to a very small school in Virginia. And then when I eventually went to college, I started at a community college because I had really no idea what the heck I ever wanted to do, mm-hmm. you know. And I'd started playing music, and that took over. So I took some photography classes, took some music classes, and then I got accepted into University of New Mexico. So... I was pretty much a music major at that point, and I got accepted as a music major, and was, you know, was a guitar player, bass player, DJ. But once I got to the school, I walked past the film department, and then I walked past the film department. There's nobody in the video department. Then I walked past the music department, and I saw the kids in there with their instruments tuning up, getting ready to play, and I was like, that's not who I'm going to be hanging out with for the next several years.
Oh, band,
like,
geeks.
I was like, something's not inspiring at this point. I mean, I'd already been playing in bands and stuff. So, I mean, I was like, you know, let me go back to that film department. And the light bulb just went off. I went upstairs, changed my classes, changed my major.
Wow.
Went and signed up. Went and checked out a camera the very first second I could check out a camera.
What was your first camera that you shot with?
It was a Panasonic 460, I think it was.
So it was kind of like the
SVHS.
Like
it was full-size SVHS, Super VHS it was called.
Okay, yeah.
So it was...
That was tape.
Yeah, it was tape. Right. Definitely
not
tape.
Not digital.
No. I didn't... While I was in college, I didn't edit nonlinear. I edited tape to tape.
Wow.
You know, this is 93, 94,
Oh, okay.
95.
So you have that kind of experience.
Yeah. I started... Yeah. I mean, it's been... I mean, I got employed at the university, like, the second week of school. The film department hired me to work, to run the video department.
Wow.
And then I started working at the racetrack, shooting horse races. And so I started working right away in 93 doing video.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, we're
talking. That explains a lot, then.
20 years.
Yeah, that explains. Okay, so I don't feel like such a dummy and such a cretin when I'm, because, you know, because it's awe-inspiring, the stuff that you create. and now I don't feel like, wow, I just, you know, I thought I was okay, like, you know, framing my shots. But when I see your stuff, I'm just blown away. So now, you've moved on and you do... commercial work.
As far as commercials, I haven't done too many.
No, I mean, when I say commercial, you're shooting a series.
Yeah, I'm doing some directing, some shooting, and some editing, mismatched depending on the show. A couple of shows for that are on the Outdoor Channel, owned by Trev Gowdy, who's
Kurt
Gowdy's son. He has Kurt Gowdy Productions, and based out of Beverly Farms, actually. Mm. And so, you know, actually through a hookup through the blog, through you, your sister, and, you know, meeting people, this was tracked down to me that there was this opening. And so I do two shows on there. One of them's a fishing show called Trev Gowdy's Monster Fish. And not unlike Wicked Tuna in a sense. Actually, I've done two humongous tuna episodes for them. But, you know, basically they track down big fish around the world. So I get to direct, shoot, and edit episodes for that. And then a show which confuses a lot of people that I'm working on right now, or actually not working on right now, but should be, is Sasquatch Mountain Man, which is, it's not a show about Bigfoot. This guy's nickname is Sasquatch because he's 6'6". And he lives off the land, and he's, you know, kind of reliving the heritage of the mountain man. So he makes his own bullets, makes his own leather products.
Oh, kind of like the pioneer times, right?
Yeah, kind of very pioneerish. You know, does a lot of trapping. You know, has a little cabin that he works out of.
Muskrats.
So, anything. I mean, he'll kill a squirrel with a rock if he has to. So I'm cutting a couple episodes of that right now, and then on the 5th I go to shoot some stuff in New Hampshire with him, some trapping stuff. So those two shows are basically taking over all my time right now.
Yeah.
And there's been other things I'm working on, but that's kind of the...
Well, you know, all that's all well and good, but the only thing I'm really interested in right now...
I know where this is going. You want to know how far along I am on the 2013
Bikini Dodge. Well, I'm not putting any pressure on you, because I know what it's like to, you know, because it's opening...
Cuatro de Mayo.
It's a new holiday, Cuatro de Mayo.
Cuatro de Mayo, much more prestigious than its elder sibling, Cinco de Mayo.
And it actually was born before Cinco de Mayo.
That's right.
So
well, it's, yeah, more important. Like, yeah, very much. But so if anyone saw the first one from 2012, what can they expect in the 2013 version?
Well, definitely a lot better visuals. A bulk of that one last year, the camera I had, I actually don't own an HD camera except for a GoPro. I don't even have a 35mm. You know, I've got my iPhone and that's it, and a GoPro. But last year I shot with standard def with a Panasonic. It was a DVX 100 A or B. It's like a tape camera. So last year it was standard def that I kind of just had to deal with it, mixed with the GoPro HD footage. This year, luckily Trev let me snag up the camera from work. And so everything's shot in 1080, 60p. So it looks a lot better.
Which means, yeah, for 99.99% of our audience does not know what that means. But that means like...
It's full HD, yeah.
Full HD. Like if you saw this on a widescreen TV, it would be crystal ridiculous clear. So, see, that excites me and you, the geeky guys, like those numbers and stuff.
It
like
won't
that,
matter to most people.
But people want it, the action. Is like, so what kind of like what were some of the highlights that you're just thinking back when you go through the footage, like that people should look forward to?
I think really some of my best highlights were not action, but the smack talk.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of smack talking before the start. Everybody, we know who they were coming for. They were coming for Blinded by the White. You know, Ed even had the target on his back. There was a lot of hate going around. So the smack talk before was great because there's some confident people. Yeah. And Ed's team was extremely confident before the game. And they'd made a lot of really accurate predictions. So that was pretty awesome. And then the smack talk afterwards I was pretty impressed with.
Yeah.
The teams this year were so competitive, it was really bordering on a league of competition. You know, there was a lot of teams, a lot of new teams. I think Blinded was the only team that was the original five on the court. But what tremendous athletes we had out there this year. I mean, we had athletes out there.
Yeah, athletes.
And they were slinging. You know, they were slinging balls, my man.
I look at some of these kids that's throwing these balls. My arm would have, like...
Oh,
ripped
yeah.
out of its socket, and like if I threw the ball as high as these kids, and like just you could pick it up 15 feet away, the way these kids.
Some of them got to be still sore today.
I don't know how they do it. But, like, yeah. I was, you know what? One of the surprises of that day, how deep, and I guess this was it Five in the Pink, was the original team, Mr. Bentley. The first year they were Five in the Pink, but they came back last year with, what was their name? Ryan Cox's team.
Oh, shit.
Mr. Remember. Bentley, Tracy, and Peter. Oh, Lord. How could I not think of it
with
right
the
now?
Tuxedo thongs?
Yeah. Oh, God.
I can't.
But anyway, there was so much. The action, if you people don't come to this thing, they're going to regret it. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, it's going to be ridiculous. So hopefully the movie will do it justice. You know, probably be in around 30 minutes. I'm going to try to put in as much of actual play time, where we hear you real time and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, there'll be a little bit of montage editing stuff. And I've downloaded, gone into a website that's overseas called MP3 Fiesta. It started out with songs like $10 a piece. And now I think they've gone up to 50. But I downloaded every song that has the word ball in it that I could possibly find. And I found some pretty interesting songs. So some of those are going to get some action in there just because they're funny as hell.
MP3 Fiesta. Is that a site I should know
about? MP3Fiesta.com. Yeah, it's you load up some money on it off a card or whatever, and you just pick and choose. And I think songs are between 20, 30, 40 cents now.
Wow, that's great.
And
it's legit. They're not sticking any kind of nasty software on your computer?
No. I mean, you don't have to do any software. You just click download and that's it. So it's cool. It's pretty cool. Yeah. So hopefully people have a good experience with this showing. Cuatro
de Mayo.
EJ's laughing in the background. Yeah, are you looking forward? You just brought a couple pieces over to EJ's for her to hang at the gallery.
Yes, some of the shots from the KPN G Clay show. Yeah. And she's kind enough to give us Good Morning Gloucester contributors a little space and a little love.
Mm-hmm. You sold a piece.
Yes, a lot of love. That's true.
You sold a piece.
I did actually sell a piece. I'm still a bit, shocked and very happy about it. Obviously, happy about it.
You sold to
Alicia Mammy's.
Mammy's Kitchen. There isn't a podcast that goes by that Alicia Cox doesn't get mentioned.
I know we both get a lot of play in these things.
Big community people get big community shout outs. So.
But that is exciting for me.
You also placed in the show, didn't you?
I did get, I guess I tied for second for the most votes for Best in Show.
Wasn't that generous of KPNG Clay to give those gift certificates like
it
that?
It really was, man. It really was. And
above and beyond.
Yeah, way above and beyond. And there's another place that gave us a venue that, like, you know, before they did that, I wouldn't have considered in the next decade getting, you know, more serious about my photography or printing anything for that matter, let alone showing it to someone. Because it's been so long since I'd even, you know, focused on photos. So, you know, to get to do that, you know, is great. Now it's, you know, I'm itching to hopefully get a DSLR soon so that I can get more serious about my photos and, of course, shoot video with it.
Yeah.
Because the 40,000 iPhone photos that I have aren't really gonna cut it.
if you have enough light, the iPhone is actually very
patience and light.
I mean, it's a great tool. I mean, the cameras on them have come a long way. What would you say to someone that wasn't gonna make a career out of it, but wanted to learn about video editing? Where would you tell them to start?
Well, I guess you would have to start with what type of computer and what type of program that is available to you. But then the basic, you know, ideas, a lot of people storyboard stuff, a lot of people think stuff out really, really detailed. We're about to have some big trucks come by here, folks.
Big old trucks.
So there's a lot of ways to go about it. I think just having some sort of vision, like you were saying earlier, a lot of times when I sit out to shoot, I pretty much know what the finished product's going to be once I get there. I look at it, like when I look at the dodgeball, I knew right away, oh, I know what this is going to look like.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to do some stand-ups and, you know. So, you know, having a vision, a clear vision of what you want always helps, so you don't go out randomly, shoot a bunch of stuff and come back and go, oh, no, now what? I don't know what I want to do. So, you know, kind of having a little bit of a game plan in your head or on paper doesn't hurt. And then knowing what you like, you know. So if you're like, hey, I've seen this video, I really like it. Well, figure out what it is you like about it, you know.
Yeah.
Is it the music they put to it? Is it the pacing? Is it the way it was shot? You know, really good videos can't really be good videos without good audio. Especially if you're, you know, music videos are one thing, but, you know, if you're taking down audio while you're shooting video, poor audio, bad audio, low audio, echoey, staticky, whatever, unmiked, will take a good video and ruin it, you know. So you just can't have a good video without good audio. So, you know, learning some basics on how to shoot and be patient, ensuring that you get decent audio, and then having a vision, pretty much will get you started.
Yeah. I would say I'll take it even a step before where I think the people that you're talking to, I'm talking about like real novices. I think like a couple tips that I would give from my perspective that made me a little bit better for videographer. Use a tripod whenever you can and stabilize your video. Shaky, like when you're holding a camera and you're videotaping, like try to slow down your pans and like make very steady, slow movements with your camera. Because when someone picks up a video camera for the first time, they're just kind of whipping around and like, you know, it's jumbly, you know, it's all over the place. And to me, I think that is keeping your camera as stable as you can throughout whatever you're shooting, that's probably the first thing that I would recommend to anyone.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely important. You know, learning how to shoot handheld comes with time. And shooting with these smaller cameras or even phones now, handheld is very shaky. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very tricky. So, yeah, definitely, you know, on a tripod, lock it down. You know, if you're going to do a move, if you're going to do a pan, it always needs to be way slower than you think.
Yeah.
You know, you're sitting there panning some beautiful thing, but when you see that on the screen, it just flies by. Yeah. So low, slow movements and stuff. Definitely.
Super deliberate.
Yeah, super deliberate. You know, when you finish a shot, you need to always leave it for a few seconds because everybody inherently always cuts the camera off quicker than they need to. Mm. So when you finish a pan or someone finishes talking, whatever, leave a few beats, that sort of thing. Mm. But shoot a bunch, I say. I mean, when I got serious in 93, I shot constantly every day, everywhere I went. People used to make jokes with the house I lived in with all the people that... This was also at the same time The Real World came out in the first season.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And they all would always compare it to The Real World. They're like, gosh, it's like living in The Real World, living with Craig, because he always shoots. I mean, every single place. I always had a camera with me from school checked out. Because I worked there, I didn't have to return it, so I always was shooting. And that's the main thing, was like, shoot anything, shoot everything.
Have you done anything with Cape Band TV?
No.
Have you been up there?
No.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of a mystery to me, so...
That's interesting to me because as a matter of fact, you talk about these cameras that, you know, you don't have access, you have access to work, but like, I think the classes are not that expensive. I think they're like $30. I could be wrong. They may be they're either 30 or they're 75. Those two numbers stick in my head for some reason, but they allow you to take these HD video cameras out and they have, you know, and so you could take these video cameras out.
Check it out. Yeah.
And then, you know, they'd like you to create a little content for them, I'm sure. Yeah. But at the same time, you can use these things, and you can use them for your own personal website and give them to Cape Band TV, I believe. And then they teach people how to. They have Final Cut Pro, and they have all kinds of. They have all a bunch of Macs in there that people can use to edit and stuff like that. So that's a good, that's a good resource that I maybe we should have brought up earlier in the thing, but I'm surprised you haven't, but you should go up there just to check it out.
I definitely want to check it out. I mean, I've seen a few things about them. Just have to get the time to go over there and see what it's all about.
You're a busy guy.
But yeah, I mean, I think I'm excited that we have the public access here. That's my first show in 93 was the Hip Hop Zone, which was on public access in Albuquerque, and it was a live show. So that was the first stuff I had to shoot and cut stuff in advance for. And then we played videos live and then put my edited videos in between. So
very cool.
So that's an awesome resource we have. I need to look into for sure.
There you go. Anything? There's a new feature I wanted to start.
Okay.
Death Row Sub. You know what that means?
What sub would you order if you're on death row?
What sub would you, from Gloucester? Okay, you could be Cape Ann, anywhere in Cape Ann. What sub? You're going to die tonight. You're going to love one sub. What is it going
to
be?
Oh, man. You know, one, I'm not versed in the best subs in town, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I had one at your office like last year. It might have even been before I moved here. I'm not sure. But I showed up down at the dock, and you had a sub that had like peppers and like olives and all kinds of good stuff. And you're like, here, you want half of this sub? And
I don't know if it was so funny.
Was it Virgilio's?
It's so funny. I composed a post this morning. And I said in every one of my podcasts, I'm going to ask this death row sub question. Uh-huh. And I said, my favorite sub is the Virgilio's Northeaster with prosciutto on it.
That's the one.
And that's the one. It has the olives. It has the, yeah, it is phenomenal. That's so crazy. That's my death row sub.
And I've been meaning to ask you for a year, what was on that damn sub, man? Because it was a home run. Like the first bite, it was one of those subs. You're like, that's perfect.
Perfect.
That's perfect.
Fresh, like tasty.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they kill it. Virgilio's, I think.
But if I had a choice, I would got to tell you, I'd probably have fried clams as my last meal.
All right, well, that was going to be my next question. Death row meal.
From where?
Fried clams from where?
You know, I'm going to do a video series on some of my favorite foods this year. Because in Virginia, I did hundreds of videos for a newspaper called the Virginia Pilot. And I always did a lot of food videos. And that's what kind of developed a lot of my style that you see now. And so I would always cover my favorite places. So I have eaten a lot of fried clams in the past couple years. And everybody's got their opinions about it. Mm-hmm. But I'm really, truly the only true expert as far as I'm concerned. So what anybody else says really doesn't matter because I am literally the king of fried clam.
This is the definitive answer? Is that what you're
telling me? Yes, this is the definitive answer. Now, I know seasonally this has an effect and oil sometimes it has an effect. But I'm going to tell you consistency after eating several of the top places several times through different times of the year. I'm going to tell you right now that the number one plate of fried clams I have had came out of the brew pub.
Really?
Cape Ann Brew Pub last year.
Interesting.
Blew my mind every time I had them. And their food comes out faster than McDonald's, as you know. It's just so fast. And Cruise Port.
Interesting.
Is a second place.
Yeah.
They have actually had some amazing fried clams. And this is all before, you know, Woodman's. You know, the clam box, it beats out all those. So, and I know for a fact that they get them directly across the street, freshly shucked from Inner Shell. So that explains some of it, that it doesn't have to travel far. Yeah. It's not sitting in a tub for a week or whatever. Wow. So I'm going to tell you, man, the best fried clams are the Brew Pub.
They
hit a home run last year with those things.
Boom.
Boom. Cape Ann Brew Pub. Holla at your boy. Mug 17, represent.
Well, there you go. I think we're going to leave it right there. Craig, thank you, as always, for all your contributions. Looking forward on Cuatro de Mayo.
Ay, 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 ay.
At the Farm Bar and Grill for your 2013 Bikini Speedo Dodgeball the movie. And for Craig Kimberly, this is Joey Schimantaro. Have a good day, y'all.
Peace. Represent.